We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You know all the numbers. We need you to dial those numbers up. 877-738-1234. It is an unbelievable cause. And if you just heard Little Cheyenne, 7 years old, and obviously
Hurricane Cheyenne.
Yeah, she is something else. But you know what? She was loud with us, but when Mookie and JD came in, quieted right down.
She was
respectful.
Her eyes.
The mouth opened.
Up. Yeah, she's like,
yeah. Oh my God. It was like, I mean, you were old timers. She knew you played football. She thought you played football.
She thought,
and you played.
She had a switch.
Yeah,
she's like a football player, don't I?
She's like, you play for the Sox. No.
Hey guys, thanks for coming down. We really appreciate it. You know what this is all about. You've been around the last couple of years, so you've seen it. But what is your feeling when you see a little 7-year-old kid going into the second grade? She turns around. She's talking about she's going to meet Red Sox players. She turns around, and there are two of them right there. You're just regular guys, and yet you see it in spring training with these patients. What is it like when you see them just light up?
Oh, man, to me it's like it takes me back when I was a kid, and I used to look up to these guys like that, and you kind of were so excited to see them, and then once you saw them, you didn't know what to say to them.
Right.
And I don't know, it's just – it kind of just flashes back to me. Like, it makes me feel like, damn, I remember when I was that age and I was a little kid and I was in that same situation. It just takes me back in that sense. And just kind of knowing that for me, it's like, I don't know how things change so quickly. You know, I always looked at Major League Baseball as on a pedestal, and I always look up to, like, oh my gosh, those guys, but we're all kind of the same. You know, we all kind of come from the same, in a sense, from being young, having dreams and aspirations to, you know, where we are now. So, I mean, obviously with her situation, you kind of, you know, you hurt for her and you kind of want to just do everything you possibly can for her. But I don't know. It's one of those things where it's kind of tough, but it's nice to see at the same time. I don't know.
Who usually gets more excited, the kids or the adults?
The parents.
Yeah,
probably the parents.
Has there ever been a response from a kid or an adult where you said, wow, I didn't see that one coming? Because for the most part, you know, Red Sox player, you know, championship last year, very recognizable guys. I would say most kids would go nuts when they see you guys. Or if they have the opportunity to meet you, shake your hand. Has there ever been a response where you're like, wow, I've never heard that before? Or seen that before? Hey, I want you to sign my
Well, let's not go there.
But, yeah, I guess it's family show. Nothing? You've probably seen it all then.
I mean, you kind of hear a lot. You know, I think you just kind of put things in perspective. You know, our bad day is not nearly what these guys are going through. And, you know, you just have to try and do what you can to put a smile on their face. And whatever they say, you know, you just roll with it. And, you know, I mean, I think a lot of them actually just treat us like normal people. They just say, you know, can you sign this ball? Or, hey, you know, listen to me play the guitar. Or, hey, I can sing this, that, and the other. And
see, that would be something that I thought would be unexpected.
Yeah.
Hey, here's my guitar.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like a harmonica. I get it. It's in your back pocket. Guitar,
I've never
kinda
heard that one before.
Yeah.
It's my piano. It just happened to happen on my back. Yeah.
But, I mean, those type of things are you know, kind of great to see just because they can be themselves and not be starstruck or anything.
Yeah, we mentioned putting things in perspective, and that's what these 2 days are. I mean, for us, we leave here, you know, after a while, and you look back at your life, and no matter what you go through, and this game is ups and downs and trying to stay even keel, whether you lose 8 straight in a stretch that you guys had or struggling at the plate. It's unfortunate, but sometimes you need things, you know, to kind of put things in perspective. I know you guys dealt with a lot in spring training as well. And it is amazing that, unfortunately, maybe we need sometimes reminders of kind of what we have in our lives.
Exactly, and that's kind of what this is. You know, I hate to say you know, that type of thing, but it's just a reminder. Hey, you know, you guys' life is good, and so we have to keep that in mind and do everything we can to make their lives, you know, good as well. And I think, you know, the Red Sox and everybody, this whole foundation does a great job in putting smiles on kids' faces for sure.
It does seem like you don't need that reminder, though, because I know you do a lot.
We do a lot, but, I mean, you know, it's always good to have it.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a baseball question, and I'm sure you've been asked this question a million times, but I'm wondering how much you guys talk about it. We talk every day during the course of the season. Why is this so different than what we witnessed last year, where everything, right? You're already laughing at it, JD, but everything just seemed to work out. I'm sure you guys spent a lot of time talking amongst yourself. Have you been able to come to any, I mean, it's been a good week, but have you been able to come to any type of answer as to why this is so different?
Oh, man, I don't know.
It's a different year.
For me, yeah, it's just a different year. It's, you know, everybody always wants to go back, oh, it's the same team, we're supposed to have the same results. Like, last year was special. I always say this, like, when everybody asks me how it was and I go back home and stuff like that, and I never thought I would say this about baseball, but, like, I feel like last year was easy. Like, and that's the last word I would ever use for a baseball season. But it just felt like everything kind of rolled our way. The ball always bounced. Someone always got a pinch hit, you know, home run. Any move Alex would make would always work out.
Yeah.
You know, it just seemed like, I mean, you look at all the special moments that happened last year of guys throwing pinch hits, home run, pinch hit, home Brock, pinch hit, homer. Nunez in the World Series, pinch hit off Wood, homer. Like, you know what I mean? It's just so special moments. And, you know, that's hard to ride for 2 years in a row. So, you know, it's a different year, and I think this team is a good team, and I think this team could be a special, you know. You never know. Like, you just never know. We're a little back now, but you never know. There's still a lot of baseball left.
So you said it was easy this year, right? I mean, last year was easy.
Year, yeah.
So is this year hard, and do you, as it gets difficult, what's the reaction? Because you're looking at it going, man, last year everything just seemed to click. This today is a real tough day, and then you've got to deal with the next day and the next day after that, Mookie.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I wouldn't say it's hard. It's just different challenges, and sometimes you're not successful. I mean, sometimes we're not getting that pinch hit hit, you know, or we're not going up and putting up zeros, or, you know, we're not playing defense at the right times. And so, I mean, it's not nothing that we can't do. It's just stuff that we just haven't put together. And, you know, it's kind of tough, exactly, especially with a target on your back. I mean, you know, yeah, we're the world champs. And so everybody that comes in is ready to play. And, you know, if we're not, one little mishap, you know, can turn into something huge. And it just seems like we've had that mishap, and it's turned into something big every time.
So Alex Cora, I think, is famous. He said it a few times, guys. Consistently inconsistent. I think he's used that phrase before. Yet every week we talk to him, sometimes down here, he is consistent. He comes in, you guys lost 8 straight. He comes in shaking hands. Hey, guys, how you doing? That sort of Alex Cora, is he consistent with you, even from last year? Is it nice to have a manager that, or is he the same, I should ask first, I guess, as last year? Or are you seeing a different manager?
Nah, he's the same guy.
How much does that mean to you, that he's not riding the wave with you and kind of getting on you when it's not going well?
It means a lot. I mean, I think he's a guy that played the game. He understands it. He understands that it's not the same. It's a different year. You know, like Mookie said, it's different challenges. And Alex understands that because he's been around for a while. And, you know, he knows that everyone's going out there and giving it their best and doing their everything they could possibly do for that game that day. And, you know, if it works out, awesome. And sometimes, you know, doesn't work out, but he's still the same person.
You know, it's you know, think about some of the issues. So, you know, I've been on teams where, you know, the offense was putting up a ton of points and the defense would go out there and they couldn't hold the lead, or someone would give up an easy touchdown. And I remember there was every now and then there was some animosity and definitely frustration with the fact that as good as we were, we couldn't close out games because of one reason or another. And with you guys, as good as you guys are offensively, you know, there's always seems to be something, whether the bullpen can't keep the lead or defensive issue or whatever it is. Has there been any frustration or animosity, or how tough has it been for you guys just to, I mean, still back the guys on your team and still respect them and still pull for them, even though you're, you know, it's an uphill climb for you as it is now?
Definitely no animosity. I mean, you know, it's tough. I mean, it's not like they're, you know, we go out there and try and lose. You know, it's tough. I mean, those guys get paid too. And so, you know, I have to just keep that in mind. Like, they're going out and trying to put up zeros, and we're going out and trying to score runs. And, you know, we're going out and trying to field the ball and throw it to first or catch fly balls and whatnot. Just sometimes, you know, we're human. Sometimes we don't do it. And it just seems like this year we haven't done it a lot more than last. And we haven't found ways to kind of bounce back, I think, once one thing happens, it kind of snowballs, and then everything kind of falls apart.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, you know, there obviously no animosity, frustration, I would say, yeah, because, you know, we're all competitors and everybody wants to win, but I don't think anyone else is blaming some other person or someone else. You know, everybody's going out there and doing their best. It's not like guys are messing around and going out there and trying to, you know, not caring. Like, I feel like everyone cares.
When you guys heard that Chris Sale was out for the season, I mean, is that just a kick to the gut, knowing that one of your best players is gone for the rest of the year?
You know, it definitely hurts.
You know, he's I mean, it's just the only thing you can really think now is who's the next guy up. Yeah. I mean, we can't sit here and harp on it. You know, we have to kind of turn the page and move forward and hope everything's fine with him. And, you know, he gets back out there to play here soon or whenever his timetable is up. But right now we just have to kind of stay focused on the task at hand, and that's today.
So I got to ask you guys both about Devers because, I mean, it's amazing. It was like 1st of May, you know, in April, I don't think he hit a home run, and he was hitting 250, 260. Then since the 1st of May, it has been a show. Even when he gets out, it is just hard contact. I was almost like there was no transition year. You know what I mean? There was no good year. Oh, my God, he's going to be special. It just happened like that. You know, what have you seen from this kid? Because it's been awesome to watch.
Yeah, you know, I think he's matured, number one, at the plate. And, you know, the way he's viewing pitchers. And it's a lot more aware of what guys are trying to do to him than, you know, previous years where he would kind of just go up there and swing at everything. I mean, he kind of still does, but I think he's a little bit more controlled now. I think he has worked a lot on his direction and his swing and trying to clean a lot of things up, and to me it's made a world of a difference. You know, the kid's a very talented hitter, a very talented player. You see it all the time in these sudden spurts, moments, you know, that he has. But I think now as he's, you know, getting a little older, he's starting to channel it in and understand what he has to do and how he has to prepare and where his swing has to be before every game and, you know, stuff like that. And he works hard. You know, he honestly does. He works hard in the cage, on the field, in the gym. He's a young kid and, you know, he kind of looks like he's out there. Yeah. You kind of don't even really know what he's doing, but he really has an idea of what he's doing out there, and I think he's been doing a really good job for us.
I like the big deep breath he does now. I think he kind of took that from you maybe a few months back because he started doing that.
Meditation.
Yeah. Yeah. Big deep breath. Yeah. We had a convo about that at the beginning because he would get all worked up about it, and I was like, just relax. I was like, you have to settle yourself down because you get a couple strikes on you and you want to, like, your heart rate starts going up and you want to panic and you're like, you don't want to strike out. Like, relax. You strike out. It's okay. You know?
Yeah.
You're going to strike out a lot more times. You know, just try to control it. Try to channel it and calm yourself at your moments when you feel like yourself is getting out of control.
I think it's interesting. You guys, your job is to go up there and get your 4 or 5 at-bats every night and try to score enough runs to win a baseball game. Our job is to sit around and talk about the team now, the team with the future. And, of course, there are opt-outs and there are contracts and everything else. And every time, this seems to come up, no matter how harmless a line might be. Alex Speer's book is out right now. I don't know if you've even seen it, Mookie, but there's apparently a portion of it where he talks about you and he talks about, you know, trying to acclimate yourself with the roster. And you were having some difficulty doing it early on. Obviously,
your first year.
Obviously, it's a lot different. That suddenly sparks conversation, and this is what we do every day. This is our job, like you have your job. We're sitting there going, oh, my God, does that mean Mookie wants out? Does it? Now, I know that both of you, well, you have a little bit more control, I think, than you do, but you don't have total control over where you're going with your career. But do you get sick of it, that the fans talk about it, the media talks about it, the people don't necessarily know enough about you, Mookie, to know whether you like Boston or not. I've heard that. I don't know. Does Mookie like Boston? And then you answer the question and go, no, I like Boston. I like. It's almost like they don't believe.
Yeah, but I don't believe them.
Yeah. Did you hear the way he said it?
I don't know.
So I'm wondering, does this stuff drive you crazy? And how can you answer that question and basically calm everybody down? Or I don't think you can you? Because of the uncertainty.
I mean, no matter what I say, they're going to, you know, people are going to have their opinions, and there's nothing you can do about that. But I've, you know, made it known. This is my second home. You know, I've been here. This is all I know. You know, I love to hear, and I love the fans, everybody, my teammates, you know, the front office, everybody here. But, you know, that doesn't change the business of baseball and, you know, kind of what value is there. And, you know, I don't want to go down that path, but, I mean, just for people who don't think I enjoy it here. I love it here. This is you know, I come here in the wintertime just to come hang out with friends and whatnot. My family loves coming up here and going to do things. So it's not that I don't like Boston at all.
Are you sort of anticipating, because I think the discussion goes to free agent, you know, you've handled it in the past, you've gone to arbitration, that this offseason is kind of a crossroads, even though you have a year left where it's, do they really want to wait and risk him leaving? Do they need an extension this year? If not, do they trade him? I mean, these are the sort of things that are kind of floating out there. Do you feel like this offseason is important about your future in Boston?
I mean, you know, that's for you know, the front office and those guys to decide. You know, right now I got one more year here, you know, and I'm going to enjoy it the same way I've enjoyed my past years here. And so, you know, that's not something that I don't even focus on. You know, I just know that right now I'm still a Red Sox, and you know, I'm happy with it.
So, JD, do you get people sitting there going, hey, you're going to opt out? You're going to leave us? You're going to...
Yeah, and do they say it like that?
hey, JD. In a way.
Do you like
it? The pizza shop down the street or what, while you're in line?
They hit you up. They ask you, like, so you're going to stay here next year? You're going to opt out? And I'm just like, I don't know. I'm just worried about right now. That's the last thing I'm thinking about. You know, when the media asked me, I always tell them, I said, you know Scott Boras? I said, call him up. You know, he's the guy that's going to help me with that decision.
He's not responding to
you
this.
You know, so, I let him worry about that. So.
Is there, I don't know if you guys care about this or if it's even a big deal. I just, you know, you look at some of these other teams and the stadiums that they play in and the fact that nobody goes to the games. And, I mean, it's got to make you feel good, I'm assuming. Like, when you guys play here, people are in the stands. People are cheering you on. I mean, you see some of these other cities,
yeah, JD,
Miami.
I'm sure you've seen it.
It's
different
ballparks. It's got to dry. I feel like that's got to be worth something.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely different. You know, I was in Houston when Houston was bad, and there was probably, I think, 10,000 people in the stands, it felt like.
Yeah.
Then I went to Detroit, and they were good, and they'd be sold out every night. It'd be a Tuesday day game, and people are there. People don't work. I don't know. They love it. And then I go to Arizona, and it's the same thing as it was in Houston. You know, winning team, but the fans just aren't there. And then you kind of come here, and it's sold out every night. Yeah. So, there's definitely something to it. It's exciting. You know, I always say, like, last year, my first year here, it's like it's August. You're tired, but the fans are still in it. Mm-hmm. And that kind of gives you that energy, you know, that like – dang, there's a lot of energy in the stadium.
You have a reason to go to work.
You feel the energy.
Yeah. It's like legal greenies back when I was playing. You know what I mean? It's like you get that energy. We used to do it differently.
So they got through August and September. That was it.
I think it would like drive you come out of the dugout and there's just nobody there. Like,
it's tough. It's
like,
tough.
How do you get excited to go to work?
Tampa's a great example.
Good team
and nothing. Every night is what, 12,000?
They cheer for the Red Sox.
They cheer for the Red Sox.
More Red Sox fans than there are.
It's a lot more, you have to have a lot more self-drive in those situations, you know. I had to deal with it, in Arizona last year. It was kind of the same, not last year, in 17, same situation. You know, it's September. We're in the wild card, and we're still getting 12,000, 13,000, it felt like, at a game. And it's one of those things where you kind of have to pump yourself up. Where here, you come out here, and it's just like, dang, let's go. You know, the fan, everyone's ready. Everyone's, you know, especially when the Yankees come in town, it feels like a playoff game.
Yeah.
So it's definitely special. There's something to it. Like you said, it's nice. You know, it's nice to play in front of fans that are so passionate.
Yeah.
The same way that I am about the game. You know, but at the same time, it's tough. There's a plus and a minus, too, about it. Because if you're not playing good, they're going to let you know.
Yeah.
And they're going to sit there and they're going to bash you and they're going to talk about you. And And I remember last year I got booed because I tried to steal second base. I got thrown out. I got the steal sign. I got booed as I was coming in the dugout. And I was like, dude, we're like 15 games in first place right now. I'm getting booed. Right? And that's how they are. You know, they love their sports. And, you know, there's a positive and a negative to it.
Yeah, I would think those Rays players could walk the streets of Tampa, and at times nobody knows who they are.
100%.
You guys walk into a restaurant, and it's like, hey, you were one for five the last 10, right? Yeah. That's what you hear.
All your stats.
Yeah, they run it down. Hey, guys, we really appreciate you coming down, obviously, and helping out the Jimmy Fawn and meeting some of the kids. This was really cool for them, and we really appreciate it. J.D. Martinez, Mookie Betts. Thank you. Continued success for the rest of the year, okay? All right, fellas. We're going to take a break, but we need you to pick up the phones right now. 877-738-1234. 738-1234. 877 live from Fenway Park. This is the WEEI Ness and Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon. It's all presented by Arbella Insurance. Thanks, Mookie.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.